In the old days, at the turn of the century, around the time right before the Bible was written, you know, Jesus came on the scene and all that stuff, they didn't have, especially in the Roman area, they didn't have entertainment as we know it today. YouTube or even dial-up. Internet, radio, television, even newspaper. You know, even books were hard to get a hold of. What they had, though, is they would have speakers, these great trained orators that would tell them stories. It may be political, maybe comedy, maybe spiritual, just good advice. But that was how people were entertained. We sometimes see that in movies, and we see a crowd of people around somebody that is on a small stage or a rock or a soapbox or something, and I'm always thinking, well, what are you guys got nothing to do? Are you just going to stand around and watch him? You know, but that was their entertainment. So much so that at some point, the great orators of the day became very highly respected. They were like heroes. They were there. They were the stars, like we have famous people in our culture today. They were the star entertainers, and they were really good ones. Now, they were so good that what they did is they began to have schools to train people to be like these great orators, the storytellers, the heroes of the storytellers. So they would have these schools to train them, and their training involved mimicking exactly everything, the characteristics, the style, the tempo, the topic, everything. They mimicked these great orators, and people would teach the class that way so they could also become great orators. This is where we get the Greek word mimetes, probably where we get our word mimic, mimetes. It's found in the Bible, and it's usually interpreted followers or imitators. Followers or imitators. Mimetes. I like, you know, Paul uses this word, mimetes, when he writes in 1 Corinthians 4 and chapter 11. He uses it twice, both times. Be followers of me, some versions will say. Some versions will say, imitate me. Mimic, mimetes, replicate. Now, I like the word imitate better than I do the word followers, only because of our example of followers, or what we in our culture, when we hear the word follower, we have this idea. Whereas in those days, a follower or a pupil to a teacher, student to a teacher, a follower to a master, what they would do is they would train to do exactly the job of their master. Anybody like old martial arts movies? That's that sort of thing, right? There was a master, and he had a bunch of students, and they learned to fight like him, think like him, act like him, interact with people like the master. That was the whole goal. It was what the disciples did too. Followers. Those were followers. People that imitated their master. People that you wanted to become just like their master. Jesus says in Luke 6:40, a pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone, after he has been fully trained, will be like his teacher. That was the purpose, right? So I'm setting you up for this scripture that has been ringing in my head ever since I read it several weeks ago. It's very easy to remember. As a matter of fact, I think now I can't get it out of my head, my heart, and my spirit. That may be a good thing. Ephesians 5:1, therefore be imitators of God. Now, I read that, and I've read that many times, but one day, you're ever reading a scripture, and you've read it before, and then one day, it just smacks you in the head like, wow, I've never really, that's revelation knowledge from the Spirit of God Himself, downloading information into your spirit. So I read these words, therefore be imitators of God. And I'm like, wow, wait a second. Imitate God. What a daunting command. And these words rang in my heart for many weeks, my spiritual ears. I begin to think of the characteristics of God that I should mimic. How should I imitate my Father God in my daily life? I am not usually a big fan of commercial Christianity that gets trendy and stuff like that, but you remember WWJD bracelets? Well, I begin to think that what would God do in this situation? My responses to people or my interaction or my reaction when the guy cut me off. Am I reacting as God would in my conversations and even in my private time when nobody knows? I should be filled with the desire to imitate my Father God at all times. Jesus said that he did this as well. John 5:19, Jesus says, truly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also in like manner will do. And then in John 12:49, he says, I don't speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. Imitating God. Oof. Do you feel that heaviness that just hit this congregation? Peter also wrote these words. 1 Peter 1:15-16. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because this is, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Imitate God. Wow, the pressure's on, right? That's what I kept thinking. Ooh, that's a big request, Lord. But I accept it, but I want to know the truth of it. You know, what does it really mean, imitate God? But then I realized something. The rest of the scripture and that phrase began to then ring in my heart as well. And thankfully, these words in context paint a much more loving and achievable picture. As beloved children. Say that with me. As beloved children. I have an example for you. I want to show this picture, picture 3. I have a grandson, and he has recently learned to draw happy faces. And that's me. Obviously. No. And I love it. It's cute. It's wonderful. He says, that's Pops, and that's Lincoln there beside me. And I love that. It's very cute. It's very precious. I will always love it. But in actuality, if we were to get real honest about it, don't tell him I said this, but it's a terrible representation of me. It looks nothing like me. My eyes are not that far apart. It's just, right? There's people that can draw pictures of me way better than that. However, I will love and cherish that picture forever. It's special. I know where he's at. I know what age he is. I know his heart. Matthew 5:43. This is around the when he's beginning his teaching. He shares his manifest with everybody. Sermon on the Mount. He said, "You shall love." You've heard this said. You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, sends rain on the righteous and unrighteous. Skip to verse 48. Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Again, a very big request. Right? Heavy. Sometimes I think we inwardly begin to criticize ourselves because of our failures and our mistakes. And sometimes we probably figure that God is disgusted with us because we've missed the mark so terribly bad. Even in my effort to mimic and replicate my Father God, to act and react just like He does and would do, in my attempt to be like my Father God, I just miss it sometimes. And maybe you've said this today. I did not look at all like my Father God. I did not replicate Him. I was a terrible representation of my Father God today. There are other people who mimic God and look a lot more like God than I do. And you know what? That's okay. God knows where we're at. God knows our abilities, our hang-ups, and He loves you. He loves your picture of Him, even when we color outside the lines or put the eyes too far apart. We are all where we are. You can't change the past, but you can be forgiven of it and march on towards a better future. Move on from here, learning to imitate your Father God better every day. It's a process. Embrace the process of growth. Embrace it. Growth, by the way, requires change. You cannot grow without change. You cannot. Not in any form of life. Plant life, animal life, human life. If you grow, something changes. Right? Too often, I think we are influenced to believe that Christianity is kind of this one-time occurrence. We get saved, and then you're either good to go after that, or something happened, and well, maybe it didn't take. I don't know. Maybe it didn't work for you. And I say nonsense to all of that stuff, personally. At salvation, yes, there's a change. You're adopted into the family. Okay, I want you to get this with me. At salvation, you're adopted into the family. A price was paid for you. There was a process of adoption that Paul talks about in depth. The process of adoption that Jesus made for you to be adopted into the family. It is legal. It is legit in the spiritual courtroom of heaven. You are a child of God. It may seem like a moment to you, the day that you accepted Christ, but God's been working on it for thousands of years to get to a place to where He could provide you a great reconciliation with Him, to restore your relationship with Him. He's been preparing for you and your salvation for years. It's legit. It's done. You are a child of God. After you become a child of God, you then begin the process of growing up to be like your new dad. There's definitely immediate change in people's lives. You can usually see it on their face. But after that immediate change, there's a further change that will be made as we accept and embrace the process of growth. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8. I want you to get this. Now, for this very reason, also applying all diligence. I want you to think about the qualities that this is where Peter's talking about, he's telling people how to live like Christ, Christianity. Applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. In your moral excellence, knowledge. In your knowledge, self-control. In your self-control, perseverance. In your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. And now listen to this. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If these qualities are yours and are increasing. In other words, we have these qualities, but we increase them. We grow in them. It is a growing process. We immediately have them, yes, but we grow in those things. We have the Holy Spirit. We should have those qualities manifested in our life to some degree. However, in some of those, you're going to have to grow in those areas. If you expect that you are going to perfectly be operating in the fruits and the gifts of the Spirit immediately after salvation, you're going to have a very disappointing journey. Right? These qualities are yours and increasing. Be okay with the growth process. The reason it's important to realize this is that the enemy will try to get in your head, regardless of how long you've been a Christian, the enemy will try to get in your head and say, you know, I thought you became a Christian, you got rid of your sin, you did all this stuff, you started dressing nicer and going to church, all this stuff, but you said that thing to that guy? That's not what a Christian does. You have this going on in your life. You've been tempted with this. I know what's going on. I know what you're thinking about. You know, I don't know. It may not have worked on you, this Christianity thing. No. It worked. You're not going to be perfect all the time. It's a growing process. Imitate God, but embrace the growing process. Just like beloved children. The New Testament Greek. Let me share this with you, and I'll get to this scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:17. The Greek language has seven different verb tenses. We have three. So when someone says, it's all Greek to me, they really don't understand it, right? It is weird. They have seven different verb tenses. For instance, there's an aorist verb tense. It is a snapshot of the present. Boom, this just happened. That's an aorist tense verb. But there's a present tense that carries on. It's happening now, but it is a continual thing that's happening. It's a continual process. Now, the reason that is so interesting, maybe not interesting to you, but the reason that is important that we realize that is because in a scripture like 2 Corinthians 5:17 that says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, new things have come. He is a new creature is that present tense verb that is a continual operation and process in your life. In other words, you're made a new creature. Yep. But you continue the process to continually grow in your relationship with Christ. Isn't that awesome? There's a definite life change that happens at salvation, no doubt about that. But that drastic, immediate change is just going to be the beginning of a spiritual process of growth. And if we don't understand that, here's why I think this is important. We get frustrated at our imperfections and we begin to beat ourselves up. And we're like, we become guilty about it, right? Any of us have problems with facing guilt in our life from something that we've done? Or, yeah. Woo! We have this negative inward feeling. It begins to impact our self-confidence. Now, I'm not suggesting that we become relaxed with our faults. Not at all. But do not allow your mistakes to ruin your growth process. Continue to grow. Pick yourself up. 1 John 2:1-2 suggests that we don't sin. But if you do, we have an advocate with the Father. Like, don't. But if you slip up, if you make a mistake, if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father. See, God knows your heart, and that's what's going to be important. 2 Corinthians 4:16, Paul says this, "Therefore, do not lose heart. Though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day, day by day, day by day." Be okay with the growth process, because the enemy wants you discouraged because of how we feel, because of what we thought of, because how we messed up and went and did what we went and did. Get up, dust yourself off, apologize, commit to do better as beloved children, because our Father God loves you. If we feel discouraged, anxious, and worried, those things that try to sneak into our busy life, those characteristics aren't a list of characteristics that we put with God. We can't worry and be fearful and be anxious and be imitators of God properly. Those are not His characteristics. So we have to realize that, dust ourselves off, and continue to go. Be an imager of God, a replica, a copy. Imagers. How can we do this, this imaging? I want you to look at another picture with me. This is picture number one. And I was, sometimes I go out into the woods back here and pray. And I was walking along and I saw this flower. And I don't know what it is, but I thought, man, that's pretty. God is good at making stuff in nature. Man, right? It's very pretty. Look closely at it. Purple on top, it's got these little stick leaves sticking off of it. But then I realized something's a little bit off. And I went around to the other side, show picture two, and I saw this. That's a praying mantis or a walking stick. I don't know if they're the same thing. I'm a country boy, I just say walking stick. It's a walking stick on the other side of this, mimicking that flower. He's imitating the flower in order to capture his next meal. There is an imitation that is false and potentially dangerous. In reality, the insect is only acting like a plant. It can never be a true copy or a true image of that flower because it's not created with the same ingredients. It will never be a flower because it was created to be an insect. This thrills my emotions, but we, on the other hand, have that capability of being true copies and replicas and imagers of God because we were provided and created and designed with the same ingredients that God was. He said in the beginning, we'll create Him in our image. We're imagers. We have the same ingredients. His Spirit, His divine nature. Again, in 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4, he says, "Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust." You have become partakers of divine nature. Partakers is a Greek word, koinonos. It means to share, to partner with, to fellowship, to associate. Actually, that word, koinonos, is often used in communion, to describe communion that we do when we partake of Christ's body and His blood spiritually inside of us. Partakers of divine nature. Koinonos is also closely related to koinonia, which is very often in the Bible describing the church or the body of Christ. You see, all this is begin to tie in together how this relates. We are designed to replicate our Father God. Sometimes that's easy to forget. Lord, help us to remember that we have everything it takes to replicate you. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, of course, Paul says, "Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own?" We all have the necessary ingredients to be imagers of God, to imitate God. So those words at the beginning, imitate God, doesn't intimidate me now as much as it used to, because I understand I'm a child of God. He loves me where I'm at. He knows I'm going to mess up sometimes, and I get up and say, "Sorry, let's try this again. I will do better," and I replicate my Father God to this world because I've got all the necessary ingredients to do that correctly. I want to read this verse again, Ephesians 5:1, but I want to read it in context. And let's summarize. Let's go back and start with Ephesians 4:31, because the first word in Ephesians 5:1, "Therefore, be imitators of God." When you see that word "therefore," you need to realize what it's there for. Right? Have you heard that? Because it's describing something that's the thought that's already taken place. So let's go back a little bit. Ephesians 4:31. Once again, I want you to look at these qualities that's being mentioned, that Paul mentions about God. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, for goodness sake." Oh, that's not in there. I added that. That's my version. "Tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." Ephesians 5:1. "Therefore, be imitators of God." Therefore, because of all that, "be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, offering a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." It's almost as if Paul is saying, okay, to be a good Christian, here's what you do. You do all these things. He says, oh, wait a second. As a matter of fact, just imitate God, because all of these things is what he did for you. Just do that. Imitate God. So my challenge to you is this. I've got three challenges. I want you to take this home with you. Number one, imitate God. What could go wrong? What's so hard about that? No. Number one, imitate God. Number two, realize, though, that you have all of the necessary ingredients and abilities inside of you by design to imitate your Father God. As daunting as that seems, it's there. However, also realize, number three, if you miss it, give yourself grace so that you can continue the growing process. God loves you. God knows your heart. Don't give up. Don't become complacent. Continue the growth process to be more like him. Now I want you to pay attention to one more scripture. Ephesians 4:24. "Put on the new self, which in the likeness of God," that's the new creation, your new self, "in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth." It's in you to be like him. Will you stand with me, please?